Let's turn to Philippians. We're going to continue our study in excellence. There's a tremendous need for excellence to be seen in the church. And I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about us. Amen? And as Christians, we're called to excellence. In Philippians chapter 1, we began this series. Verse 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. How many want to be excellent? I want to be excellent. I want our church to be excellent. And not just for excellence sake, not to put on some kind of prideful attitude where I'm excellent, because I'm nothing without Jesus. Amen? But with Him we can do all things, including living a life of excellence. We can live a life of excellence. And the world's idea of excellence is different than Jesus' idea of excellence. And He gives us a greater understanding of what He considers excellence in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. I want to read that for you. "Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Servanthood is excellence. And Jesus is the greatest example we have of that. Amen? We're raised in a society that focuses on dominion. Everybody wants to be on top. Everybody wants to be in control. And they strive to go up the ladder in business or whatever. They want to reach the top. They want to have dominion. But the New Testament talks about dominion in a different way. Dominion is in Christ. We have dominion through Him, in Him. And we can have God's rule in our lives. We're mindful that Jesus was highly exalted. Amen? That's what Scripture says. But it was a fruit of His servanthood. That's how we are taught in the New Testament. That if we desire to grow, to become greater in the things of God, then we will have a servant's heart. Amen? Where we're putting others ahead of ourselves. Where we're interested in helping others more than we're interested in helping ourselves. And today I want us to look at chapter 3. So look at chapter 3. I want to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Beginning with verse 1 in chapter 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation." Now that's kind of a strange verse, isn't it? Now we're going to come back and we're going to talk about that. "For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Did you hear that? Our confidence in this life to live excellent is not in the flesh. It's not in our own abilities and what we can do. Our confidence is in Jesus. Amen? It's in Jesus. When I traveled to Pakistan, I had this overwhelming sense of not being adequate. I was going to preach to thousands of people. Thousands in one service. And I was praying, "Lord, why did you give me this opportunity? Who am I that I would have this opportunity? And how can I possibly do this and see people's lives touched?" And the Lord just spoke to me. You know, has anybody ever prayed like this? Lord, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. Come on. If God can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. That was my prayer. But the Lord began to deal with my heart and to speak to me. And he was saying, Milt, it's no different than what you've been doing for years. Because it's never been you. It's never been your ability. It's never been your eloquence. It's nothing to do with you. It's because you're surrendered to me. It's nothing in your flesh, but everything about it is about Jesus. Amen. And that's where our confidence has to be. If God calls you into business and you want to be excellent in business, then you're going to have a servant's heart and you're going to be surrendered to Jesus and you're going to trust him. Your confidence is in Jesus. Your confidence is not in your business degree. I'm sorry, it's not. Because one of my best friends is a multimillionaire, and he's a businessman. He's had multiple businesses, and he never achieved any degree in business. Not one. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. When I went to Bible school, I went to business class. In fact, I wasn't going to be a preacher. Who'd want to be a preacher? I went to Bible school. I loved Jesus, but I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be my friend. I wanted to make millions of dollars and give it to the church and support the church. You know, that was my idea. And God said, ha ha, I've got other plans. But the excellence is through Jesus. It's through his anointing on your life. The anointing is his promise of his presence and his power to fulfill his purpose in you and through you. Amen. In chapter 3, let's go on. I didn't finish. Verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Amen. I want to gain Christ, he said. All these things in the flesh, they don't matter. That's not excellence. My excellence, he's saying, is in Jesus. That's where my excellence is. Excuse me, look at verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. Now, Paul's asking people to be aware of imitations, things that are not truly of God, things that God is not wanting. Now, there were a group of people that were going around, they were coming behind Paul, and they were teaching the new Christians, the church, that, well, we believe in Jesus, Jesus is the Messiah, but you need to be circumcised. If you're going to be a true, faithful believer, you need to be circumcised. And the reason was because they had been trained up. The early church were all Jews, and they were fulfilling the Old Testament covenant and of Abraham that God began. They understood how precious that was and significant. And so they were coming behind Paul and telling people, you need to be circumcised if you're really going to be an excellent Christian. And it was of extreme importance for the people in that time. So the question was, after a person became a Christian, did they still need to be circumcised? Because Gentiles were coming into the church. They were believing on Jesus, and they hadn't been following the ceremonial law of the Jews. So now they've come in to the church, and there were some of them that said, first thing, you need to be circumcised. And then there were others that said, no, you don't need to be circumcised, because the circumcision is spiritual. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a circumcision of the ears and the eyes. It's cutting off the flesh and pursuing God with everything that you are. So there was this battle going on in the church. In the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, it speaks about this. They had a great church council in Jerusalem, and they came together to discuss this problem. Do we really need the Gentiles to become Jews before they become Christians, is basically what they were saying. So what were they going to do? Well, they came to this decision. No, we don't have to be circumcised, because circumcision is spiritual. It's of the heart. So that's what they decided. But there were those that still disagreed with that, and they would come behind Paul, and they were sowing these lies. They were putting baggage on the people that the people didn't need. Now, the reason for the circumcision that they said you don't need to be circumcised is because it's a matter, first of all, of the heart. And they recognize that. We have a relationship with Jesus. And when we come to Him, we welcome Him into our heart, into our life. Lord, you need to cut away the fleshly things in my heart that I can pursue the heart of God. That's the idea. Lord, anything in my life that's fleshly, Lord, carnal, unworthy of God, I want you to sever those things, remove those things from my life, so that my heart pursues the excellence of Jesus Christ. And that's what they decided. It also, in the Old Testament, it was taught that it was a matter of the ears, that there was a cutting away of the things that they would hear. How many realize today that we still can encounter these things today? We hear so much news that's bad, and it's plugging up our ears from hearing what God's speaking to us in this hour. We have so much news on our phones, and there's so many things that we read and we watch and all these things. And church, we need, just like they did in that day, we need to realize we need circumcision of the flesh, the carnal things in our life, that we pursue the excellence of Jesus. That we hear what Jesus wants us to hear. The things of the world aren't plugging up our ears where we can't hear the voice of the true and the living God speaking to us. And church, Jesus in John chapter 10 makes it very clear, my sheep hear my voice. Amen? God will speak to us. He speaks to us through various ways. He speaks to us when we read the Word. Amen? He speaks to us in creation. We can go out and we love Alaska. It's beautiful. One of the most beautiful places in the entire world. And we get to live here and enjoy it. And when we see the majesty of the mountains and the beautiful ocean and the rivers and the wildlife and all these things, God can speak to us through these things. But God also speaks to us through that still, small voice. And sometimes God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit's message, just like Sue had a message that the Holy Spirit was stirring her heart this morning to share that message with what I believe probably was more than just one person this morning. So God speaks to us. But we have to be mindful that, Lord, I don't want my ears to be plugged up with anything carnal, with anything, you know, in my day when I was growing up, the pastors would say, you listen to rock and roll, you're going to hell. I don't know how many times I heard that as a kid. And A lot of the stuff wasn't worth listening to. I had to agree with that. But it didn't have anything to do with the beat. I don't think it had anything to do with the beat. I think it had to do with the content. So when I was in college, Christian, the Jesus Revolution hit. I'm dating myself. But they started, that generation started playing music and singing, and it had a different beat to it, but the words were from Scripture. And I started listening to that music. And not that I didn't like the old hymns. I grew up in the old hymns. Yesterday at Clyde's funeral here, Melinda and I actually sang three old hymns, and I realized it's been probably 10 years since I've led any of those hymns. But I love the old hymns. But every form of music, I believe, and some people would disagree with this, I think rap can even be for Jesus. Because I've seen some young people that were sold out, born again, on fire, young people for Jesus, and they sang rap. So I don't believe it's an issue of the beat of the music, but the content. And anything that we hear, you know, I grew up in Texas, so I grew up on country music. You know, the music that if you play backwards, that your dog comes home, your wife comes home, you get your job back. But there were some great country songs. I Saw the Light. That's a great country song. But my point is, church, let's be circumcised in the Spirit with our ears and guard. Melinda and I made a determination when our kids were just small. We weren't going to play anything in our house except Christian music that glorified Jesus. And I told you, I grew up, you know, listening to music. My dad recorded and sang songs, and I loved music. I was in choir in school. I love all kind of music. But we thought it was so important for our kids. In the car, it was Christian music. In the house, it was Christian music. And I'm not saying you can't listen. There's some country music that isn't bad, just talks about love. There's pop music that talks about love or other things that's not bad. It's not filled with bad words or bad things. But I want you to think about the music that you're playing for your children. What are they getting from it? Because it will affect their life. And what are we listening to? Because it will affect our lives. The same thing. It wasn't just a matter of the heart and the ears, but it was also a matter of the eyes. It was, what are we watching? And in our time, it's so much more pronounced than it would have been back then, because we're just bombarded with our phones watching videos and movies and different things. And it can be good. Before I went to Pakistan, I took my phone and I downloaded a whole bunch of Christian music, because I wasn't going to have any over there. There wasn't going to be any access. You turn on the TV over there and it was in Urdu, so I didn't understand anything they were saying. But I had my phone and I had Christian music, and in the morning I would get up and I'd go to the first service and preach. I'd come home in the afternoon, they'd give me some time to rest. I'd begin to pray and I'd put on my Christian music and just worship God, and His presence would fill the hotel room, and I would just be encouraged and built up and prepared to go out again and to preach again. Church, it is powerful when we listen and we look for the excellence that God has for us. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I want our church to be about. I do want spiritual circumcision of my heart, of my ears, and of my eyes. How many would say, yes, Pastor, I want that too? Amen. Amen. I want us to look at verse 3. Paul says here, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, we talked about the verse a minute ago about where he said, "Beware of mutilation." That's what he was referring to. Bewaring the dogs, those that are not of Christ truly. They're pretending, they're imitations, but they're coming behind me and they're adding all of these things on to what is simple. And church, Christianity is simple. The basics of it. It's we have failed, we are sinners, we've made mistakes, but God loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die on the cross for us. And when we receive what Jesus did, we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen? We're born again, the Bible says. Born from above is what it means, spiritually born. And church, we're different. And we pursue the excellence of God. So let's look at verse 3 again. He says, "We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Now, Paul is saying that we're not going to carry extra baggage around. It's not about the works of the flesh, because the works of the flesh just limit us. But he talks about himself and what his works are. Look at verse 4. "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." So Paul is saying, you think you can do it in the flesh? If anybody could do it in the flesh, it would be me. And he's not saying this pridefully. We'll read the rest of it. But he's saying, if anybody could reach excellence in the flesh, it would have been me. And then he talks about himself in his own life. Look at verse 5. "Circumcised the eighth day." 8 days after he was born, he was circumcised. He says, "I'm of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee." So genealogies were very important to the Jewish people, because in the Babylonian exile, many of them lost their genealogies. But Paul had his genealogy. And he's saying, let me tell you, I did everything right. I come from the right stock. He said, I come, everything that you could do in the flesh to be an excellent Jew, I did it. Paul had done everything right. And then he says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That means he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin was a group of 70 elders that ruled Israel. They were the governors of that day. And they were the head of the people. There was no higher social status. Church, excellence in Christ isn't because of your social status. Most of the Christians I met in Pakistan, most of them had very, very little social status. They were on the bottom rung. But in Christ, they had excellence. The third thing that he says, concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. And Paul's talking about his expertise and his accomplishments as a lawyer of God's word. He had studied. He was very well educated. And Paul took this place of education at the feet of the most renowned rabbi in all of Jewish history, Gamaliel. And Paul is telling us that he had the best education, the best training, he says, that was available. He says, I had an academic pedigree. He said, all these things that I had spiritual pedigree, the social status, the academic training. And he says, all of these things that I had, They're rubbish. They're rubbish compared to the excellency in Christ. Then in verse 6, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul, the first martyr, Stephen, Paul was there. He was orchestrating it. It says they laid their coats at his feet. And that doesn't mean that he was the coat boy. It means that he was the one in charge. He was telling them what to do. And Paul had a zeal for persecuting the church. They thought in the beginning that the church was a cult, that it was not of God. And he, being a good Jewish man, he wanted to come against this and stop it. And so Paul said, everything that you could do in the flesh, I had zeal. Church, I want to always have zeal for Jesus. How about you? But I don't want my zeal to be my works. I want my zeal to be from the relationship with Jesus Christ. That he's transformed my heart. He's transformed my life. I have a passion for Jesus. And I want others to know him. That's the zeal I want. Paul would go into the house churches. He would drag people out and put them in prison. He would persecute them. Then in verse 6, it says, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What's he saying there? He said, I have moral superiority. He's saying, I was living the law. I was following the law. That to people looking at him, he was blameless. Then look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now, Paul is telling us that there is an expense to excellence. And it's not that we can buy or purchase excellence, but there is a cost. God does things in our lives. We realize these works of the flesh, these works of the flesh, church, do not bring excellence. It's the presence of Jesus. It's the presence of Jesus. If you want to be excellent in your job, bring the presence of Jesus. If you want your marriage to be excellent, welcome the presence of Jesus. Whatever you're doing, if you want it to be excellent, bring the presence of Jesus. It's Him. Now, Paul isn't saying, and I'm going to close with these last few thoughts. Paul's not saying that all these things are bad. He's not saying that education is bad or accomplishments are bad or social recognition is wrong. He's not saying that if you're good at your job, that's not good. But what he's pointing to, that these are all works of the flesh, and your flesh cannot produce the excellence that Jesus has called us to. And I want to challenge you, church, that wherever you go, bring the excellence of Jesus. Allow Him and His presence, the Holy Spirit in your life, to work through you in your workplace, at the job, or if you're a business owner. Let them see Jesus in you. The best workers in the whole world should be Christians. They should be dependable. They should work hard and have a work ethic. The world should be able to see the excellence of Jesus in us and desire that excellence in their business. Amen? But sadly, that's not true. Not long ago, I was talking to a business owner in town here. And he said, I've tried to hire Christians in the past, but he said many of them were not good workers. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. Because God's word says, whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen? So when we go to work, we may not enjoy our job at the time, but we're going to do it as if we're doing it for Jesus, our boss. Amen? And we're going to welcome His presence in our life that everyone can see, even when it's difficult. There's joy in our hearts. There's joy in our lives. We're just bubbling up with Jesus. And they're going to want to know, what is that? They're going to see the excellence. Worship team, will you come? So the message this morning is simple. As we talk about excellence again, there are things when we pursue the excellence of Jesus, just like Paul, he had all these things that he had accomplished in the eyes of the world, but he said, they're rubbish. They're rubbish. Not long ago, I spoke with an evangelist that's a friend of mine, and he was talking about earning doctorate degrees. And he said, I believe in higher education, but he said, today, many times, I don't encourage young ministers to pursue a doctorate degree. And I thought, why? And he said, because so many of them are relying on the doctorate degree instead of relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in their ministry. And he had multiple doctorate degrees, very intelligent man. And it's not saying, I'm thankful we have a theological seminary in Springfield, Missouri. But church, when we start depending solely on our education and our intellect instead of the excellence of Jesus, we're going to fail. I appreciate Dr. Don. He has his doctorate. But he'll be the first to tell you, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. I want you to stand with me. And I want you to ask yourself, do people see the excellence of Jesus in my life? Am I pursuing excellence through social status? Am I pursuing excellence through education? Am I pursuing excellence through works of any kind? And again, those things aren't bad. We should desire to do a good job. We should desire all those things. But church, more than anything else, we must pursue the excellence of Jesus. That the world would see that excellence in us. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come across the back of the auditorium and in the front of the auditorium. And if you have a prayer need today, we want to pray with you. It may not be specifically about pursuing the excellence of Jesus, but whatever your need is, we want to bring it to Jesus. We want to bring that to Him. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we just come to you today. And we recognize, just like Paul, that all these fleshly things are just rubbish compared to Jesus. And Lord, we desire the excellence of Christ in our life. Lord, whether we're a salesman or a boss, or Lord, whether we're working at McDonald's, Lord, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let us pursue the excellence of Jesus. Let Jesus be seen in us. Let Jesus be seen through us. Lord, that the world would see that excellence. And they would want to know about Jesus. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs a healing touch, Lord, we pray for them. If there's anyone here that needs to be set free of a stronghold in their life, we speak freedom over them today. Lord, if there's anyone here that has a financial need. Lord, we speak abundance over them. We pray that you'd meet that need and go beyond it. But most of all, Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ, we pray that today they would say yes to Jesus. Today they would open their heart to you. And we ask it in your precious name. As the worship team begins to lead us in the final chorus, if you have a prayer need, please come forward and let us pray with you today, and let us pray with you. If you don't have a prayer need, then just join our worship team and lift up Jesus before we go. Lift him up. Give him praise and glory.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.